The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by Tabes Tech, LLC. This is Pro Business Colorado with your host, Dave Tabor, on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about spirit, the spirit of opportunity created by people who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow businesses here in Colorado. Whether it's having a business meeting during a bike ride or the special kind of collaboration that goes on here, I get jazzed talking with dynamic people with interesting businesses and with subject matter experts who get that Colorado is special. All my guests are people who love Colorado. They inspire me and they can inspire you, and they offer us ideas on how to succeed in business. And today I'm speaking with my friend and investor, David Pritchard. Appreciate you being here from Tea Garden Financial. And David has brought with me, was going to be two Colorado entrepreneurs, and now he's got a bonus as well. We'll talk about that in a second. But Pete Jokish of Tico Tea, who specializes in making small batches from scratch, and Melanie DeRose, founder of Impact Bars, high-quality natural bars for women. Also joining us in the studio is really a legendary natural foods entrepreneur from Boulder, John Maggio. You know his product, Boulder Chips. If you've ever had some of the best chips in the world, that was John's company before he sold it, and he's been involved in many others. So we're glad to have all four of you in the studio with me today, and we're going to be talking about starting and scaling a niche food products business, what it takes to go from something that tastes good to a legitimate business. And be sure to check out the Pro Business Colorado podcast, today's show, and other past shows with great companies, all available via proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. For example, the leaders of OtterBox, Zeal Optics, Full Contact, PharmaJet, American Furniture Warehouse, all of those great Colorado leaders and many, many more are available again via podcast, proco360.com. So it's time to welcome David Pritchard, Pete Jokish from Tico Tea, Melanie DeRose of Impact Bars, and John Maggio, bonus food entrepreneur guest here on the show today. So let me give it a little context as we get started. And if for listeners, you can't see this, but this is the most crowded studio I've had. All of our guests are sharing a mic. We're going to do the best we can. But I want to start with a bit of an overview. My objectives are really to discuss this world of starting a food business, especially one that's more of sort of a natural Colorado-style food business. And to put it in context, too, I mean, lots of people will invent a great product right in their kitchen or whatever, and all their friends are like, this is so awesome. You should make this a business, right? And most people just can't do that. And anyone, you know, I suppose could blend teas. Anyone can create a bar or whatever. But turning that into a marketable food product business is way, way different, and that's what I want to talk about today. So I want to start with Melanie of Impact Bars. Tell us about the business itself. Right in front of us, you brought. Thank you for bringing samples.
Absolutely. Dave, thank you so much for having me on. This is awesome. I apologize for my voice. I just got back from Expo West in Anaheim, and it was 3 days of talking 16 hours a day, but an awesome experience. We created Impact Bars recently. Impact, it's spelled E-M-P-A-C-T, and the E-M stands for Empowering Women and Girls, and the Pact, helping them have an impact on their families and communities. For us, it was really important to establish a mission-based company. You know, I'm a recovering lawyer in my former life. I was slugging it out 100-hour, you know, weeks at, or 100-hour months at a large international law firm and working really hard and feeling like a bad mom, a bad lawyer, a bad spouse all the time, and also feeling like I didn't have a lot of meaning in what I was doing. So I took that natural jump from corporate and securities lawyer to starting a health and fitness company.
Oh, yeah,
for
natural
women.
Jump, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, so it was fitness in the beginning, and then our customers were awesome. They were really interested in nutrition. And so the bars really grew out of that. And we wanted to develop something for women. You know, I would walk down the grocery store aisle and I would feel overwhelmed. It's a very crowded space, but most everything is made for men. There was nothing for women. So we wanted to really kind of get out of the box and figure out how to develop something that really stood out and that was marketed for women.
Well, I think I appreciate that you say it was marketed for women, Melanie, because, you know, I'm looking, you brought your packages with us and so forth. And describe the packaging for the audience.
Sure. We have really unique packaging, and we spent a lot of time paying attention to detail. So, You'll find us on the aisles because we've got gold polka dots on all of our packaging. So definitely supposed to be attractive to women. We've gotten a lot of feedback. We marketed we developed our boxes vertically so that they would be great on the shelf. You know, it's hard to get into any retailer, so we thought if we took up less shelf space, we might get in a little bit easier. But we also designed them to be pretty. They're great point-of-sale products, and we've been validated because we've had some major retailers put us there. But, you know, everything has been thought out from the look and the feel. You know, we have a matte finish with glossy polka dots, to the language that's on here, to the coloring, and then to our little gold digger emblem here, which is kind of our signature girl for our company.
And that's spelled G-O-A-L.
G-O-A-L, yes.
Yeah, I want to talk some more about that. But first, I want to back up a little bit. And, Pete, don't worry. We're going to talk about tea in a little bit. If you just joined me, this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. And I'm speaking right now. The voice you just heard was Melanie DeRose of Impact Bars. And when you decided to create this company, leave your law practice and become an entrepreneur, did you already have this recipe, or did you decide, I want to start a company by creating this product?
You know, we decided to start the company first. Really, what was most important was the mission side. We wanted to empower women. We have a big social element to our company. We work with charities that help empower women, and I can get into that later. But it was more about creating something that had a really big impact. You know, it's kind of ironic we ended on the name, because as a lawyer, I wasn't really feeling like I was making that much of an impact. So we wanted to create the bar. Then we focus grouped tons of women and figured out what they wanted in a bar. And it turns out a lot of them wanted the same things I wanted: high protein, good quality protein, no artificial ingredients, and something that wouldn't end up, you know, half eaten, folded over in your purse.
Well, how do you, when you decide to create a product, does this just happen with a blender? And in fact, I want to turn to John, who's created a product from scratch, right? I mean, how do you, when you think about how you created an initial product, and we just got a minute or so left, think of a product you created and describe, what does that process look like?
Yeah, I mean, it does have to start with how does it feel and taste. You're in the kitchen, maybe with a blender, you're maybe with something in the oven, and pretty soon you hone in on taste. That's sort of the gold standard. Then you've really got to get to, how do we put it in a bottle or a can or a package and make it live within that package? So you have pH and water activity and all kinds of crazy scientific things, because you might end up with a product that becomes moldy after a week or so. Yeah. That's no good, right?
So, you know, we're going to come back and we're talking about that notion of turning a product that you make in your own kitchen into a product you actually can sell legally and in volume through grocery stores or through whatever specialty outlets. You're listening to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We're talking about the niche sort of specialty food business in Colorado. And we'll be right back on 710 KNUS after this.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, this is Dave Tabor for American Furniture Warehouse. I'm a big fan of AFW. I'm a fan because I've gotten to know them well, really well. Jake has built AFW to be a company all of us in Colorado can be proud of. He started it by buying out a dying little store and turned it into Colorado's largest family-owned company with thousands of employees and tens of thousands of customers. And guess what? He's done it the old-fashioned way, by treating customers and employees right. I've seen how Jake operates. Once, when a worker slipped in a wet shipping bay, Jake invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to install better weatherproofing collars around all the shipping doors so it wouldn't happen again. AFW has its own physical therapy center so that workers can stay healthy, and if someone does get hurt, he or she can be treated immediately by qualified professionals. AFW drivers are incentivized to deliver furniture on time and without damage, and when they do, they earn a lot more than typical drivers. All that and great products at low prices. AFW runs a tremendous business we can all be proud of. I hope you'll shop there as I do.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at ProCo360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's ProCo360.com to sign up. ProCo360.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Portraits of Courage, a Commander-in-Chief's tribute to America's warriors, is a vibrant collection of paintings by President George W. Bush of 98 wounded warriors, honoring the sacrifice and courage of America's military. Each painting is accompanied by the inspiring story of the warrior depicted, available now as a standard edition and deluxe signed edition. Get your copy of President Bush's Portraits of Courage wherever books are sold.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. This show and others are available via my website at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. And today I'm speaking with investor David Pritchard. Oh, we haven't spoken with you much yet, David. We'll have to get you looped into this conversation.
That's okay. The entrepreneurs are a lot more exciting.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing them into the studio today. I'm speaking with David Pritchard again, and three Colorado entrepreneurs he brought with him, Pete Jokish of Tico Tea. And Pete, we're going to talk a little bit more with you in just a little bit, but I'm glad you're here, and thanks for bringing samples. Also, Melanie DeRose of Impact Bars, and we've been speaking with Melanie, and also joined as a special bonus, John Maggio, who you may have heard of through his original company, Boulder Chips, and now he continues to be active in the whole Colorado natural foods business scene. So I want to thank, before we dive back in, thank to our great sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and American Furniture Warehouse. Those three great companies support this show and support the whole notion and environment of Colorado entrepreneurism. So thanks again to them. Back to Melanie, let's continue our conversation about the start of Impact Bars. And so did this start basically in your kitchen with a blender?
Yes. Well, let me back up. It started with focus grouping women and finding out what they wanted in a bar and trying to validate if all of the things that I was feeling were lacking were necessary. So, yeah, we focus group women. We figured out what they wanted. We worked really hard to get the flavor right.
So let me ask you about that. John, you had said that flavor is really everything. So it doesn't really matter how natural a product is or what the ingredients are if people don't like it, right? I mean, that's really the foundational aspect of a product.
Yes, but I think also with women, they're very concerned. I'm not trying to judge, but many women are really very interested on what's on the nutrition panel. So we had to make sure the numbers were also where they wanted them. You know, the interesting thing about a natural product, too, one challenge is if, when you don't have a bunch of preservatives, you know, like you get a Twinkie, you taste it on day one and day 1,000,
yeah, it
tastes the same.
Mm-hmm, yep.
With a natural product, you just have to put it out there. There's really no one, there's no test that's going to tell you that what it's going to taste like on day 1,000.
Well,
that's
there's a test. You have to wait 1,000 days.
That's right. That's so, right.
Or you have an expiration date. And the more natural a product becomes, right, John? I mean, the more natural something is, the less preserved. I mean, then you really, your shelf life does decrease, doesn't it?
You can take, sure, right down to milk for a couple of days.
Yeah, then, I suppose,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a moving target. But, you know, also, does a consumer really want a natural product that lasts 3 years?
Right.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Right. So as you get started, this whole notion, I want to play a clip in it because I was on your website, Melanie. There's a clip about this notion of being scrappy. Look, anybody who's been an entrepreneur, I just finished reading the book Shoe Dog about Phil Knight and his starting of Nike. And you think, oh, Nike, this massive global. Are you kidding? That guy killed himself for years trying to. And so every entrepreneur does. I want to play this clip and I want to get your comment because this is a clip from a video you've got on YouTube, Melanie. Go ahead. Thanks.
So they have to be shrink wrapped. So that is why I'm here today. Our group, who normally helps us, couldn't get this done in the timing that we needed because literally these have to be shipped out today. So luckily I have a husband who's also super scrappy and he went to some ghetto in Denver to find a used shrink wrap tunnel that was apparently made in like 1960 and buy it because our options were to either do this ourselves, get this done, and get these out today, or go with some kind of professional, you know, our storage 3PL storage facility. They could do it for four times the cost and it would take them a week.
So there you have it. Those are the decisions you make every day, right?
They are. You know, one of our core values at Impact is everybody takes out the trash. We're not beneath anybody. I mean, we did a roadshow last week with a large Texas retailer. We knocked out six or seven cities in 3 or 4 days, and we were standing in the grocery store with hairnets on, demoing out our samples, and you know, law school classmates who were our partners at law firms were coming up to me. It was a very humbling experience. But you know, this is what I stand for, and I'm behind it. And John says, this is the stage where you need to listen more than you talk, and that's the best way to listen, to get in front of your customers.
I think it too, it underscores what is really important in being an entrepreneur in the food and beverage business. And certainly Pete and Melanie both know this, and it's about persistence. I mean, if Dave's going to invest in something, he's going to start with team, then team, then team. I mean, if the people aren't there, it really doesn't matter what the product tastes like.
If somebody doesn't want to stand in public with a hairnet, David, you're not going to make an investment. Is that about it?
Yeah, no, it's all about jockeys just as much, actually more than the horse, and especially ugly jockeys. I prefer those.
Well, now that I was about to transition to Pete, but on that, with that segue, it doesn't seem fair. All right, so let's just stop the metaphor.
I just mean the hairnet.
Okay. So, Pete, jump in and tell us about, you know, this notion of scrappiness, and tell us about TCOT to begin with. Give us a quick background.
Yeah, absolutely. And since no one can see me, I am a handsomely good-looking jockey, by the way. But to go back to your point, the start of TCO really started back in college. Not necessarily the idea for the company, but really my interest in tea. I played lacrosse up at Colorado State and used tea as more of like a catalyst for like a healthy lifestyle rather than some of the other drinks that were on the market. And so after I graduated from Colorado State, had the fortunate opportunity to play for the Mammoth for a few years down here. And during that time, I got a chance to kind of sample some of our products with some of the guys on the team and really get some great feedback from that. And from there, we really kind of launched it into the farmers markets, in specific the Cherry Creek farmers market. So to Melanie's point, more or less that was our focus group. And so
the farmers market.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, you went to your point, getting in the kitchen and actually blending teas. That's really where it started, to be honest with you. You use kind of current companies that are on the market as a baseline for maybe what's out there and kind of what products to create. But then you realize really quickly that there's a huge opportunity, and here's how we can make adjustments to these specific products to open up an opportunity within that particular vertical market.
Well,
so
I think of farmers markets, Pete, and I think they are such a small scale mechanism that you could never actually make a living. And then I know David, you brought some folks from Lazy Bee Honey in, and they're doing farmers markets. But how do you move from being someone who's busy every weekend wearing a hairnet at a farmers market to actually having a business that scales into a company?
Absolutely. So the farmers markets are really just a large focus group, and it is that kind of daily grind that you have to go through. Is you work a normal job kind of Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends you wake up at 5 a.m., you brew a bunch of tea, you sell it, you go home, you count your few dollars that you made, you wake up Sunday, do the same thing, and then figure out Monday, what did I just do this past weekend? I'm not sure if there's a huge opportunity for tea, but really those types of engagements with customers is really where we saw an opportunity within the particular industry. And we didn't start with retail. We actually started with food service restaurants. So restaurants was the bulk of our business and still remains that today. We noticed that a lot of restaurateurs and chefs visited the farmers markets and really took interest in our products. And so we decided to kind of pivot away from the markets and really focus on restaurants. And that's where we see continued growth, not only here in Colorado, but out of state with great retail, with great restaurants.
I noticed that you have a deal with Mad Greens, which seems like it would be a complimentary brand. But restaurants have notoriously low margins. So are you going to be able to get the kind of margin that a specialty products company wants to get and needs to get to actually scale if you're selling to low-margin customers?
Absolutely. So in our studies, food service can actually provide more sustainable kind of sales figures because a restaurant has to brew tea, fresh-brewed iced tea at least, every single day. So we can just build a model out based on those numbers early on. And you're right, there are slim kind of margins there, but a ton of restaurateurs, especially here in Colorado, are looking for more premium products, and they'll spend a little bit more. Now, not saying the margins are significantly better, but you can, you know, with so many great concepts like Mad Greens and Lark Burger and places just like that. So.
Well, it was interesting. I had the guys, oh gosh, probably been several months ago now, from Tenderbelly. They make bacon. And one of their strategies is to have their brand on the menu of the customers themselves. David, you're nodding. Pete, you're nodding. Is that something, is your brand being now used visibly within your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we still try to push towards. For the longest time, I think tea was kind of on the back burner. It was what's important on the plates. Okay, what kind of different cocktails that we're going to have. Okay, and I guess we'll just throw in coffee and tea.
Yeah.
Coffee was a little bit more prevalent early on, but now tea is actually starting to make a little bit more of a hallmark on menus, and so that's where we see some good placement, absolutely.
That's neat.
And just a testament to that, I'm an investor in a restaurant that actually uses Pete's tea, and it was fascinating. It had just opened, brand-new restaurant, Carve, at 1000 South Colorado Boulevard. And we're looking at all the early feedback on comment cards, because early on when you open a restaurant, you're trying to get all these comment cards.
Right.
We were blown away at the volume of our comment cards that were commenting
the
on the tea more than our restaurant. You know, so sometimes those other things can be, you know, be significant players in the value you bring to your consumer.
I suppose, and like desserts are sort of these high margin bumps on a ticket. So could tea be when you sell it for $4 and retail or whatever, and
absolutely. Tea is the most profitable item on any menu.
Wow.
Like, hands down. Yeah. More than soda. So.
Well, we've got John here from – John, you originally started Boulder Chips and sold it. You've been involved with Justin's Nut Butters and things like that. What are you seeing about, you know, the story of Tico Tea and Impact Bars? How consistent is it with what you see in the marketplace?
Yeah, and I've worked with literally hundreds of companies over the last – Melanie says 65 years, but it's been 24. I look old today. I will say, and we have 31 companies in a accelerator venture fund as well. So we see a lot of different things around, you know, what are the great categories? Again, what are the great entrepreneurs that are out there? And who can really break out? And so a lot of persistence and a lot of people who really, again, become scrappy and find ways through things that no one thought they might initially. You know, for Boulder Chips, we got really lucky. We started at a time when the natural products industry was just taking off. So we got to be in Boulder, Colorado, kind of ground zero for natural products when the gun went off.
Now, then who did you sell that to?
The company's called Inventure Foods. It's a snack food company that has
a big
many
company.
Other. It's a public company. Yes.
So I'm going to ask you this question, and just hope I get an answer, because, you know, so Boulder Chips, known for natural, great, high-quality product. Justin Nut Butters, known as natural. They sell to big conglomerates, big, large. Can they continue? I mean, why would someone want to continue buying those products when you got upstarts like Tico and Impact that are so much kind of sexier, and they're still niche-y, they still feel small? How do you manage?
Yeah, flash forward to today. It's a little different market than when we sold Boulder Chips. So Justin sold to Hormel. Hormel's a phenomenal company, mostly family-run, and they're keeping that company as a separate silo. They're not trying to just incorporate everything from that company into their scheme and what they do. So right now, that's the new theme, is these big brands need to keep them separate. The other thing is they need us, so we need each other. You know, we talked to 8 people the other day from Campbell's who are standing at a booth talking about, you know, how they can't do this. They can't just make up an entrepreneur and do something fantastic. At the same time, I used an example today with somebody actually already that one of the big companies in the world said, hey, we're taking color and artificial flavors out of our candies, and we're going to do that by 2019. That's awesome, except that I can get a lawnmower at my house in 24 hours from Amazon. So they're trying to move faster.
Yeah,
and
but
we're
faster is still slow.
And we need them. And so today's market, I think the really smart companies, General Mills has done this, Kellogg's done it recently, obviously Hormel, are buying companies, but then they're not just taking them apart.
They're
leveraging, trying to keep them together.
They're
leveraging the founders.
And are they? It seems like they're leveraging their distribution channels and so forth to expand sales. You made a face.
They're
maybe
leveraging
not.
Some things. Distribution's always a trick question because they don't really own any trucks, and that's really what I think of when I think of a distribution channel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you take all the back end away from Melanie and Pete's business today, and they don't have to do anything with packing boxes or making product or doing accounting, they can go sell their product and market it. That's the key.
So the unique branding, the unique personalities and so forth can come through, but they don't have to deal with all the back of the house kind of stuff. Hey, we're going to take a break. This is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We'll be back talking about natural foods in Colorado after this.
CBS News Special Report. Chuck Berry was the king of rock and roll. He was there at the beginning and never stopped playing. He has an album out later this year. He died over the weekend outside his home near St. Louis at age 90.
Chuck Berry, in many ways, was essentially the inventor of rock and roll. I mean, he was somebody who was just a tremendously important and influential figure, you know, in the very earliest days of the music.
Anthony DeCurtis is a contributing editor at Rolling Stone magazine. Carol Bryant came out to lay flowers at a club in St. Louis where he liked to play.
He was just one of the most awesome, awesome stage performers. And my fondest memory of watching him on TV was when he would stoop down with that guitar and get down on the ground and stick that foot out.
Chuck Berry was 90, but for many, he will always be sweet little 16. CBS News Special Report, I'm Mike Sugarman.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Have a wonderful weekend. Next week, we're back here 5 a.m. Chuck and Julie have the show doing great talk radio. And, of course, Randy Corbin's in it. Make it all right for the world. See you in a little bit. Take care of yourselves. Thank you.
Peter Boyles, weekdays from 5 to 9 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-500-4309. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-500-4309. Call 1-800-500-4309. 1-800-500-4309.
This will sound like a horror story, but for some people it is a reality during tax season. Imagine you head to the mailbox after doing your taxes, reach in, discard all the junk mail, and then pull out the item you've been waiting for so long, only to get a huge shock. Someone has already filed for your return. You probably didn't know that identity thieves could use your personal information to file for your refund or commit other forms of ID theft. In fact, the IRS identified approximately $4 billion in suspected identity theft tax refund fraud in 2016. Thankfully, there is LifeLock. With LifeLock, you have access to a team of U.S.-based specialists who know the steps to take and the calls to make to fix identity issues. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Join now and get 10% off by using the promo code Prager. Call 800-LIFELOCK. That's 800-LIFELOCK. Or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Prager in either case to save 10% now at LifeLock.com.
A CNN original series.
Stop doubting and believe.
The followers who loved him.
I am the resurrection and the life.
The enemies who feared him.
Go to Bethlehem. Tell them all.
Who is the man behind the greatest story ever told?
Everybody who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.
Finding Jesus. New season Sundays at 9 Eastern and Pacific on CNN.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. And today I'm speaking with investor David Pritcher, who's introducing me to two great Colorado entrepreneurs from Tico Tea and from Impact Bars. We're going to continue talking about this natural food, sort of craft food business in Colorado, how you turn it into something from your kitchen to something on the shelves. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, and we'll keep going. But first, I want to thank our great sponsors, MicroStar Keg Logistics, American Furniture Warehouse, and Community Banks of Colorado. Thanks to those three great companies. Hey, I want to let you know that next week, I'll be joined by my friend Vic Ahmed of the Innovation Pavilion. Vic's been on the show with me a few times, and he always brings great guests with him. We'll be talking with the founder and CEO of a company being launched from the Innovation Pavilion. I can't tell you more right at this moment because you'll need to hear about the concept he's launching during the show next week. It is really pretty cool. I'll tell you this, that the conversation will include planning, funding, and launching a niche technology company, and I'm big into niches. You guys all know that I'm sitting in front of me, but I believe that the key in today's world is finding a great and powerful niche, and this is a niche technology company. It'll be fun to talk about. So you can catch that show next Sunday morning, 8 a.m. on 710KNUS. Also, this one, that one, all of my past shows at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. So let's get back and talk more about the food business, Tico Teas, Impact Bars. And Melanie, I want to turn back to you about, I mean, I think probably listening, there are going to be many, many entrepreneurs who have had the notion of, whether it's popcorn or tea or a bar or whatever the case, creating some kind of a food product. So what about the process as you decided you wanted to create a food product that was sellable? What about that did you have to learn the hard way?
There are so many things. I think the two that come top of my mind, number one, it takes a long time to get the product right. When you're trying to get the taste right, the numbers right, the packaging right, I have the benefit of using my children.
I'm going to try it right now.
Okay, great. My children are our chief taste testers, because if you want brutally honest feedback about taste, ask a three-year-old. So it took several months and several iterations to get it right. But then the challenge is you think you've gotten it right, but then when what you produce on commercial equipment is very different than what you can produce in your kitchen. So when we finally were able to launch, and you know, we've just launched about 7 months ago, the first product is not at all what it was that you made, and you have no idea what it's going to do. So there's that element. And then the other issue is the volume you have to create. So, you know, you're just starting out and all of a sudden you've got to make tens of thousands of bars. You don't know what they're going to do. There's no study on what they're going to do over time. And so it's almost just kind of a crapshoot.
Meaning like how they're going to age on the shelves.
Yes. You just throw it out there.
How much money did you have to come up with to make your first batch?
A lot. I don't have that number off the top. More than I ever thought would be possible with the food product company. You have to source all your ingredients. You have to buy in volume or there's no margin.
And you have to have your packaging done. You have to have the wrapping done. You have to have all the design. I mean, is that what you experienced too at Tico?
Absolutely. We really pride ourselves on doing everything in-house, from the product development to the manufacturing of the product, to even the branding and kind of product packaging development. Everything is handled in-house, and we're really really happy with our team and the results we come.
But I mean, when you create this tea, you know it's good, you know you like it, you can sell it at a farmer's market. You don't really need slick packaging in a farmer's market if you're brewing it ahead and selling it by the cup, right? But now you have to flip this switch to go from, I've got this neat product, right? People love it. They tell me it's great. My friends and family tell me I'm going to be rich, right? Then you have to figure, you got to flip a massive switch to turn it from this little thing that people buy one at a time to something you can really distribute, right?
Absolutely. And that was really a switch for us going back. I mentioned earlier the food service industry. Going into that, tea was tea. People thought, I can just get it from a food distributor, cost me next to nothing. Why should I buy your tea? And you have to brand yourself in a restaurant environment, just like you have to do on the shelf, if you really want to have an opportunity to do well at those restaurant establishments. So for us, we kind of use the New Belgium Brewery or Breckenridge Brewery of the world and really kind of coined ourselves.
Is that role model?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, being up in Fort Collins, New Belgium was certainly a role model for us from a business standpoint. But then coming down here to Colorado, there's so many great breweries and distilleries like Breckenridge that do such a great job of branding themselves.
You know, getting back to that switch, I mean, Melanie was evasive. She didn't tell me exactly how much money she spent on her first batch of food. You probably don't know exactly, do you?
I don't know off the top of my head. Tens of thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands.
Yes.
Okay, we're getting closer. Thank you. But when you think about the switch that you flipped, Pete, to go to live with beautiful packaging, bottles, and everything. You know, what kind of dollars are we talking about to flip that switch?
Absolutely. So, in our particular instance, we're talking about close to $100,000 to $150,000 to actually kind of make that switch, to invest in some equipment. Now, we're in the process of investing in a lot more, and that number has gone up significantly.
Now, both of you have talked about sampling, doing, and we could talk about those bigger numbers in a little bit too, but both of you talked about sampling, developing product with customers and so forth. I mean, those are like, you're crawling, and then you, as we just talked about, then all of a sudden you get up and sprint, right? But how long were you crawling till you decided, okay, it's now or we're not going to get anywhere? I'll
start. Yeah, we actually got a little bit lucky. We took a concept to a major retailer in Texas before we ever had a bar because we wanted to be sure the fact that we were just exclusively marketing to women wouldn't be a problem. Hmm. And we were validated. What they said was, if you were marketing to everybody, we'd tell you to leave. So we shipped the first box of bars off our first production line to that retailer.
So you had a sales ahead of time.
Yes, we did. Well, we didn't have an order. We didn't have a PO. We had a good word and a handshake.
Yes. You know, that sounds really dangerous.
Yes.
But it is what entrepreneurs have to do at some point is leap. I mean, it's always nice in a services business. You know, you can, and I had a multimedia production company. You can get customers before you actually have a company. People waste all this time, right, getting business cards put together in their logo. I mean, look, in a services business, you can just go get customers. But in your companies, you have to actually build products that are sellable and scalable, right? And if you just, before you can even answer, I'm going to let our listeners know this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with three entrepreneurs. Of course, I've got David Pritchard of Tea Garden Financial, who's brought a couple of guests, Pete Jokish of Tico Tea, and Melanie DeRose of Impact Bars. So I want to get back to this notion of niche a little bit. We've got a few minutes left in this segment. And Melanie, you make a big, big point of this bar being for women. I just tasted it. And as a man, I loved it.
Awesome.
So what is that? So how much of this notion is ingredients, is messaging, is marketing, and is packaging that makes this a woman's product? Because I'm going to take it out of the wrapper and I'm going to finish it where my friends can't see.
Well, that's awesome. So, and I promise you it won't give you boobs because every man asks me that question. That's the first question I get. I mean, it's obviously marketed to women with the color and the polka dots.
There's probably another very small niche that would appreciate it if it did, but go ahead.
Yes. I would own an island if I had solved that mystery of how to grow boobs. But anyhow, you know, we created it based on feedback from women. So they wanted 150 calories. They wanted 10 grams of protein. I think it was very specifically designed for women. That doesn't mean men can't eat it. I would love it if a bunch of men are running around with polka dot bars. That would be awesome. But, you know, it's a crowded space. We had to find our way in.
Yep.
And frankly, it was selfish in the sense that when I, like I said, would walk down that aisle, I didn't think there was anything for me. And we really wanted to solve that problem of being a trusted resource for health and nutrition for women.
Well, and your business, that you're be a gold digger is your motto, right?
Yes.
Gold digger. So, and I was on your website. I was digging around and I'm like, you know, and you've got opportunities for your customers to contact you. And one thought I had is, you know, if you were really driving into social media, wouldn't it be interesting to get women to comment about the goals in their lives and other things? I mean, isn't that sort of the direction of social media, is to get people to engage actively in conversations? How does that motto work into your marketing and your social?
Absolutely. I think if you're trying to develop any kind of strong brand, social media is crucial. With us, we're trying to develop a community of women who are advocates, because empowering women is our mission. And whether that happens through the charities we work with or just helping women become better versions of themselves, we've never been about making women skinny or having to lose weight or having to win the marathon. We've been about how can you be the best version of yourself? And I think social media is an outlet to let us show women that that's where they're doing and bring them on board to try to be ambassadors for us.
Well, that's well put. When we come back, we're about to take a break. I want to ask both of you, I mean, starting a business, especially one like this, is tough. So I'm going to ask you both when you come back to share with us a couple of stories, a couple of things you've had to do to overcome some substantial challenges as you got your businesses kicked off. This is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, and we'll be back after this.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
Hi, this is Dave Tabor for American Furniture Warehouse. I'm a big fan of AFW. I'm a fan because I've gotten to know them well, really well. Jake has built AFW to be a company all of us in Colorado can be proud of. He started it by buying out a dying little store and turned it into Colorado's largest family-owned company with thousands of employees and tens of thousands of customers. And guess what? He's done it the old-fashioned way, by treating customers and employees right. I've seen how Jake operates. Once, when a worker slipped in a wet shipping bay, Jake invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to install better weatherproofing collars around all the shipping doors so it wouldn't happen again. AFW has its own physical therapy center so that workers can stay healthy, and if someone does get hurt, he or she can be treated immediately by qualified professionals. AFW drivers are incentivized to deliver furniture on time and without damage, and when they do, they earn a lot more than typical drivers. All that and great products at low prices. AFW runs a tremendous business we can all be proud of. I hope you'll shop there as I do. At the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry, we're committed to Colorado. We believe that Colorado should be the place where forward-thinking business leaders choose to invest, innovate, and grow their businesses. And we champion for a positive business climate to drive prosperity for all those who want to work to achieve it. If you believe as we do and want to work side by side to help Colorado thrive, join us. With the State Chamber of Commerce, visit cochamber.com.
Dennis Prager here. And for 2 years now, I've been telling you about my wife, Sue, who tried Relief Factor because of her knee pain, and it worked. And if you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle aches and pain, do what my wife, Sue, did. Try Relief Factor. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call them toll-free 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. This is the last segment. I'm glad you've joined us today. I'm speaking with investor David Pritchard, who's brought in a couple of the companies he's investing in, Tico Teas and Impact Bars. And we're talking about this whole niche sort of natural foods business that's springing up all around Colorado. But these two great entrepreneurs, Pete Jokisch and Melanie DeRose, are joining me today. We'll continue that conversation for our last segment in just a moment. I want to thank American Furniture Warehouse, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and Community Banks of Colorado for their support for this show, their sponsors, and without them, wouldn't be able to do this. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, of course, is a show about entrepreneurs and business experts who can be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow their businesses here in Colorado. This podcast and all of my past podcasts, I think we're up to about 88 guests now since I've been doing this. All those shows, well, most of them, I'm still uploading at proco360.com. Again, proco360.com. And when we took a break, I said, when we come back, I want to hear maybe your most interesting stories about some of the challenges you had when you started your business and as you brought your product to market. So I'm going to turn to Pete first. You said you got a great story, something that you really had to struggle with and overcome.
Absolutely. And honestly, when you start a business, if you're not willing to fail early and often, but not too often, it's probably not there for you, you know. And so for us, failure is just a part of the job, if you will. And for us early on, we actually had the opportunity to serve as one of the largest kind of burger concepts out of here in Colorado. And it was really great because it gave us the opportunity to really scale the business quick. It did take a lot of your attention because it is such a big customer. But early on, we teamed up with this concept, had a chance to grow throughout the country. It was really great for our business, really kind of put us on the radar. So we're very fortunate for that and the opportunity. But unfortunately, what happens is when you have a large customer like that and when you deal with that scale, there's a ton of other companies with a lot more money vying for that business. And so for us, the concept really looked towards really high quality products. We fit the bill for them. And from there, we had the chance to grow. And once we got the iced tea sales to a certain point, a company by the name of Coca-Cola decided to step in and say, why don't these little guys step aside? We're going to go ahead and buy this business, kick them out. And
buy the business, meaning offer their products so inexpensively that your restaurateur couldn't afford to say no.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, when you get to a certain scale, those larger companies essentially write like a marketing check. So anytime you see an ad with a Dr. Pepper or something in the ad, Dr. Pepper paid for that, not necessarily Burger King.
I just tasted your, I think it's the pomegranate tea.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, it's delicious. It's more dense, kind of a flavorful product than I've had, I think of as a tea.
Yep.
And so my thought is, as you told me that story, that maybe you weren't, even though you were dazzled by the size of the order, maybe that wasn't the right customer for you.
Absolutely, and that's 100% the case. When we unfortunately lost the business, it accounted for a little over 43% of our overall revenue. Well, to lose that within essentially 30 days was a massive hit to a business. To go back to your point, so if you're not willing to fail, it absolutely crippled me, and there was a lot of sleepless nights wondering if I made the right decision. I had a lot of my own personal family money on the line, and it was really concerning, and it made me think, did I make the right decision? Do I know what I'm doing? is this really the path for me? And that's what really kind of showed our true colors. Yeah. I think you can see that in our character.
But did it make you reconsider the kind of customer you wanted to do business with? I mean, here, both of you, Impact Bars and TCOTs, you're both high-end, niche-based companies. And something tantalized you into doing business with this big company, right?
Absolutely.
That ultimately wasn't really a fit.
Yep. Revenue is such that big, shiny object.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
yeah,
man, that's a big customer and it can put us on the map. But to be honest with you, it has to be the right customer. And they weren't the right customer at the time. We weren't there yet. I think today we could probably handle it as we're sizably different now.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was that shiny object. And as we look back, it really wasn't the best bet. But it caused us to really look in the mirror and figure out who are we as a business and who should our customers
yeah.
be. So
yeah.
And let me just say, as an investor, those are the kind of things that I tend to look for. You know, you've got various stages in companies. You know, startups, they have a great idea, but you haven't seen them face challenges yet or have 43% of their revenue fall off the books and see them overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus a lot of the big funds that invest in a lot of these, you know, opportunities, they want to see you get to some very sizable level first,
mm-hmm.
you know, before they come in. And so there's this interesting thing everywhere, but especially in Colorado, where you have a lot of these companies that are, you know, past startup and not quite, you know, millions of revenue
yeah.
where the funds
yeah.
are ready to come in and need capital to get that next level.
Well, I know
there's a sweet spot.
Yeah, you've talked about betting on the jockey, not the horse or whatever the case is, your metaphor. And when you think of these two, you brought them both into the studio today, and you look at other entrepreneurs, what qualities do you see in particular these tough competitive markets that let you say, I'm going to pick this person versus others?
Yeah, you know, I think you touched earlier on, you know, sort of taste and quality of product, which is obviously a huge test, but there are a lot of great tasting products out there, right? So it's really sort of this trifecta in my mind. Great tasting product, great branding in marketing, in image, like something that's really unique and stands out, like gold polka dots,
yeah.
or for TCOT, he just has this really cool throwback, unique,
yeah.
like, you know, he mentioned New Belgium earlier, where you've got sort of individual branding for each flavor that really
yeah,
stands
yeah.
out. And on the shelf, nothing else looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when you combine great taste with something that really stands out with an entrepreneur that at least has some level of seasoning, shows they're scrappy, shows they're willing to do what it takes, has abandoned a legal career,
yeah.
you know, those types of things.
Yeah, but Melanie abandoned a legal career and didn't know anything about – did you know anything about business?
I was a corporate lawyer, so I definitely had worked on IPOs. So I knew
yeah.
something about business. I knew nothing about the food business. If
yeah.
you had asked me a couple of years ago – if I'd be, you know, told me I'd be running a food business, I would have laughed at you. There'd been no way. But that's why we knew what we didn't know. That's
mm-hmm.
why we involved John Maggio and people who actually know this business. Because if you don't have a mentor or someone who can guide you, it's hard to survive.
Hey, I want to switch gears. We've got a few minutes left, and there's a topic that is intriguing me, and I'm going to bounce it off the three of you. And both of your companies, Tico and Impact Bars, talk about sort of this notion of why. Simon Sinek has become so famous, people don't care what you do, they care why you do it, right? And that was made famous, I think, initially by maybe companies like Patagonia and Ben & Jerry's ice cream and such, right? Now, here's my question for you. Now everyone's doing it. Was that just like a phase, or, you know, is it still a significant differentiator, do you guys think? And David, jump into it. But I just wonder if that notion is being diluted.
I'll go to this because for me it was really personal. I mean, what the problem with my legal career is I didn't have a lot of fulfillment because I didn't feel like I was doing meaningful things. I learned a lot and I had a great career as a
lawyer.
But
no hairnet.
That's although I was, you know, as a lawyer you have to do a lot of things that are scrappy. But for me, the way I was going to get self-fulfillment out of creating a company was to provide a social element. I don't think it is phasing out because I think there are so many companies still that don't pay attention to it. Most, especially in consumer packaged goods, most of the companies out there are not trying to have a social element or charitable component if you look at them. Now, I see your point that more and more maybe are moving that way, but I also think they've got to be authentic about it. And you can spot a company sometimes where they're just trying to have a mission component or do something charitable because they think it will sell more versus a company that's really meaningful about what they're doing and authentic about it. Do you agree?
Absolutely, 100%. You see, I think there's companies like Tom's that set it out really early about, oh, you know, buy a pair of shoes, we'll give a pair of shoes. And now you see, well, you buy a can of soup, and we'll give a can of soup.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
They're just trying to copy what somebody else made really successful. And now it may make an impact where it's obviously providing food for people, but it's not really resonating with their business. It feels just like very cut and copy type of mentality. So for us, very similar to what you did, is it has to strike a chord with you. And for me, it was really kind of for us, like kind of the saying is pairing our purpose with your life's passions. And what does that mean, right? Everyone's got different passions. Well, that's what's great about people, is that how can we be that catalyst? Not necessarily we're going to change your life, but how can we be that product with you along your journey that helps you kind of pursue those passions? We're not going to help you necessarily perform better. Mm. Maybe it's obviously tea is healthy for you, but maybe our story can help ignite kind of a fire within you to kind of go pursue your passions. And so maybe you're someone like a paddleboarder who wants to go paddleboard down the Mississippi River. No one's done before. We want to be there to help you, you know, to pursue that passion. And that's kind of really where we're going with our brand.
Well, one of your passions, Pete, you were talking about on your website too, is mentoring young entrepreneurs to aspire their dreams. You're not an old entrepreneur.
No.
But, you know, so what's this notion of mentoring others?
Absolutely. So early on, I think now the word entrepreneur is kind of like what people want to be, this rock star.
Yeah.
And it is not that at all. It is like you go through a ton in your short lifespan as a business owner, much different than if I had worked kind of a normal corporate 9-to-5. And so for me, although, yes, still relatively young, age 33 to a lot of people, but for a lot of these younger entrepreneurs, I have a lot of fresh battle scars, if you will,
that
I can try and teach somebody and kind of lead them down that path.
It is interesting. I think your analogy is a pretty good one. I mean, being an entrepreneur, especially in certain cities like Denver and others, you know, it does have sort of a rock star mentality. And how many, David, as you see lots of entrepreneurs out there, especially wannabes that are in their 20s, how many have no idea what they're getting themselves into as far as, you know, this notion of sleeping on the floor, eating ramen noodles, that still happens, doesn't it?
Absolutely, all the time. And I would say 100% have no idea what they're getting into. You know, I mean, they may have varying levels of an idea, you know, and maybe a serial entrepreneur that's done it a few times, you know, they may know. But that first endeavor, I think a lot less people would go into it if they really understood a lot of those hurdles they'll run into. But, I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? You learn a lot about yourself and your business and the opportunity.
Yeah, that glamour. Hey, can you, Craig, can you play that clip again that we played early on? I want to just run that.
So they have to be shrink-wrapped. So that is why I'm here today.
This is Melanie.
Our group, who normally helps us, couldn't get this done in the timing that we needed, because literally these have to be shipped out today. So luckily I have a husband who's also super scrappy, and he went to some ghetto in Denver to find a used shrink-wrap tunnel that was apparently made in, like, 1960 and buy it, because our options were to either do this ourselves, get this done, and get these out today, or go with some kind of professional, you know, our storage, 3PL storage facility. They could do it for 4 times the cost, and it would take them a week.
Right. I mean, this is the life, this pretty typical scenario for an entrepreneur. Melanie was in this video standing in front of this old piece of equipment, right?
Absolutely. It makes great basement furniture.
Oh, but this is a typical story of entrepreneurs that I think when you talk about being a rock star, none of them are picturing this, right? I mean,
absolutely. They think it's this great come onto a fun podcast or a radio show and make all this money early on, or have the, you know, the glamour of being on a Instagram followers or something like that. And that's the furthest away from what it actually is. And you've got to be willing to put in that time before you can actually see it.
And I suppose what you're looking for as an investor, David, are the ones who will stick with it after they know this, after they're experiencing this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They've already had some bumps and bruises along the way. And it's fascinating too. You know, he talks about making all this money. I think a lot of people don't really understand with a lot of these companies is how little the founders are able to even pay themselves. Even a lot of times when they get into millions of revenue because they're growing so fast, they still can't pay themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's a long time before they can. Hey, we're going to have to end this conversation today then. Thanks to David Pritchard. Thanks to Pete Jokish, and thanks to Melanie DeRose and of Tico Tees and of Impact Bars. I'm glad you are with us today. This is Pro Business Colorado on 710 KNUS. Make sure you check out this podcast. podcast at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. You'll catch this podcast and many others. Also, sign up for the newsletter so you can know who's next. Thanks for listening.